Today's reading is from Luke chapter 2, verses 8 to 15. It can be found in the Blue Church Bibles on page 1027. So that's page 1027, Luke chapter 2, verses 8 to 15. Luke chapter 2, page 1027. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." This is the word of the Lord.
Well, very good morning, everybody. Thank you, Aidan, for reading. I think this is probably my only chance to say to everyone, but a very Merry Christmas to you all. Please do keep that passage open. We're going to be in there and in a few other places, but let me pray as we begin. Our Father, we do indeed want to thank you for who you are, for what you've done for us, for what you've done for us in the Lord Jesus. May this morning be an opportunity for us to cherish those truths, that it might turn us to praise you, to glorify your name, to honour you as you deserve. May we join in with the angels, that great chorus that honoured you for who you are and what you've done. So help us now as we look at your word, speak to us and help us that we might know you more dearly, more truly, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Gloria in excelsis Deo. Now, don't worry, I won't be doing the whole sermon in Latin this morning. That's all you're getting. I wouldn't be able to do it anyway. So you're safe. You might be familiar with the classic carol, Angels from the Realm of Glory. I think we sing a slightly more modern version here. But the original ends each verse with that line, Gloria in excelsis Deo. Glory to God in the highest heaven. Glory to God in the highest heaven. That is what the angelic host sings in the night sky as the shepherds look on in wonder. Words to honour, praise and worship our sovereign Lord. You see, the angels had reason to glorify God. They had good news of great joy to proclaim. A Saviour had been born, the Messiah, the Lord. And as Christ's church today, we proclaim that same message to our world. And we have that wonderful opportunity later this evening at our carols by candlelight service, as has been mentioned. We are going to be proclaiming peace on earth, peace between man and God. But this morning we have an opportunity to think why we as believers in the Lord Jesus should join in with the chorus of the angels. We can ask this question: why should we glorify God this Christmas? Why should we glorify God this Christmas? Now, just to clarify, when we use the word glorify, we mean to honour, praise and worship. And we rightly direct that adoration to our Lord God. This festive season is a reminder of the gospel truths that we have received and know in the Lord Jesus. And so I hope that this morning we can reflect on some of those realities and that they would give us a desire, a motivation, a drive to glorify the Lord as he deserves. So, I want us to think about three things this morning. And the first will come up on the screen. Glory shone in the darkness. Short glory shone in the darkness. Let me read from verse 8 of Luke chapter 2. And there were shepherds living out in the fields by night, keeping watch over the flock. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord." Now, you might have received a Christmas card with an image like this. It's going to come up on the screen of the shepherds at night. It's a nice picture. Starry sky, silhouettes, cool sort of blue tones. Rather pleasing on the eye. Bit of a Hallmark moment. But I think that Luke had a different idea in mind when he mentions night at the end of verse 8. You see, in Scripture, night is a powerful image of spiritual darkness. And we got a sense of that as we had those prayers from Chris a moment ago. The spiritual darkness, it's a rejection of God and the judgment of God. And it's sort of the gloomy picture is Luke's way of describing sort of first century Judah, a nation living in a perpetual night, walking in darkness, separated from God and under sin. But as I said, this is not just a problem for Judah. We see it in our world. All humanity, past, present, and future, shares that dilemma. As the Apostle Paul states, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We all walk in darkness, and our greatest need is to be saved from sin. You see, this dark night, this darkness that we're walking in is a consequence of our rebellion against God. It brings ignorance. We don't know God. It brings adversity. We face perhaps that bully at the school or online. We have to deal with that malicious colleague. It brings disappointment, perhaps with redundancy or exam failure. It brings suffering, chronic pain, permanent sickness. It brings grief, the death of loved ones, both young and old. And with all this darkness, we cry out for a saviour. And that was the hope of many faithful Jews, that the Messiah, the Christ, would come. And that was the promise that God gave them. Well, this angelic messenger announces that this day has now arrived. God's glory bursts from the heavens and shone in the darkness. The light drives away the night. The angels bring good news of great joy. Here is the Saviour that was promised. Here is the Saviour we need. Now, we might still be waiting for some of our Christmas presents to arrive. My last one, thankfully, came yesterday. But it can be frustrating to wait, can't it? Particularly if there's a delay. But the good news of Jesus is that he is not something that we have to wait for. He has already arrived. Christ has come. Now, some of us, maybe those of us in YP1, YP2, or others, some of us here have yet to put our trust in Jesus. So let me encourage you to reflect on that over these Christmas holidays. Don't let God's word wash over you. Think carefully and thoughtfully about the truths you hear this Christmas. Remember, the Saviour we need has come. He saves us from our sin. But most of us probably have accepted Jesus. That's why we're here this morning. Well, the most fundamental thing you can glorify God for is your salvation. That is the central blessing of our faith in Christ. As Isaiah extols in chapter 12 of his great book, "I will praise you, Lord. Although you are angry with me, your anger has turned away and you have comforted me. Surely God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. The Lord himself is my strength and my defense. He has become my salvation. With joy you will draw water from the well of salvation." But you see, it is that truth of a Saviour that gives us the certain hope that one day, night, and all it means will be truly gone. Ignorance will be replaced with knowledge. Adversity will be replaced with harmony. Disappointment will be replaced with happiness. Suffering will be replaced with peace. Grief will be replaced with joy. Death will be replaced with life. That is what the day will bring. And we can be certain of that because the Saviour has come. John speaks of this assurance in his vision of the New Jerusalem, where God's glory will shine forever. Revelation 21. This is picture language. "The city does not need the sun or the moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives it light, and the Lamb, that's Jesus, is its lamp. The nations will walk by its light, and the kings of the earth will bring their splendor into it. On no day will its gates ever be shut, for there will be no night there." The Lord Jesus is like the first light of dawn. The day is coming. The night will be no more. And so such assurance and hope should drive us to worship and glorify our God as he deserves. Glory shone in the darkness. Well, here's the second thing we see. Glory of the one and only Son. Let me read verse 11 of chapter 2. "Today, in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord." Now, I guess over the Christmas period, there's every chance of just seeing Jesus as that child in a manger. But we don't want to get stuck with a sort of Renaissance painting view of Jesus where the child never grows up. But that's where the world wants Jesus, where he's kind of sweet and safe. But this blindly ignores who Jesus truly is and what he was destined for. So let me try and paint a true picture of Jesus, one worthy of our praise and honour. The carol, "O Come, All Ye Faithful," calls us to come and adore Christ the Lord. This echoes the Nicene Creed. It's an early church statement of faith. Jesus is described as God of God, light of light. He is very God, begotten, not created. See, these words speak of Jesus as fully divine, not a creation. He is the second person of the Trinity, having the same nature to his Father and Spirit. He is the eternal Word who was there in the beginning. He is the source of light and life. So as we look at this child in a manger, we must understand that this is the one in whom the psalmist said, he determines the numbers of the stars and calls them each by name. Incredibly, the divine Son laid aside his glory in heaven for our sake. He humbled himself by taking on flesh and entered this world as a baby boy. But the prophet Isaiah prophesied great things for this child. He would be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And in the context of that chapter, God's people were promised blessing, especially for Zebulun and Naphtali, two tribes of Israel. In those days, Isaiah warned Judah about the coming invasion of the Assyrians. This was an act of divine judgment against Israel's rejection of God. And the northern regions of the promised land, which included Zebulun and Naphtali, were the most severely ravaged from this invasion. They were the first to suffer. And so in God's mercy, they would be the first to receive special blessing. Let me read from Isaiah chapter 9, verse 1. It will come up on the screen. Hopefully you can see that there. Nevertheless, there will be no more gloom for those who were in distress. In the past, he humbled the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. But in the future, he will honor Galilee of the nations by the way of the sea beyond the Jordan. You see, there would come a time when the gloom would be no more. Their distress and humiliation gone. For the people walking in darkness had seen a great light. You see, these lands would have had the privilege to be the first to see the Messiah. And it was so. 700 years later, from this prophecy, Christ the man began his miraculous ministry around the Sea of Galilee. At that time, people saw the splendor of God's one and only Son. As the Apostle John testifies, we have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. You see, John, along with many others, bore witness that this light that was promised, that was seen, heard, even touched, was seen in the real living person of Jesus of Nazareth. And their accounts were for our benefit, so that we might put our trust in Christ, that we might have salvation, that we might have life. But you see, it wasn't just his miracles that revealed his glory. As powerful a testimony as they were, Christ was most glorified through his atoning work, his death, his resurrection, and his ascension. Before Jesus goes to the cross, John records the high priestly prayer in chapter 17 of his book. Jesus begins, "Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your glory may glorify you." You see, the time had come for the glory of God to truly be revealed. Here, God the Son was honored through his redemptive work. And here, God the Father was honored because of his redemptive plan. And at the cross, there was victory. God's enemies were defeated. Sin, death, and the devil lost their sting. At the resurrection, there was vindication. God's plan was verified. And that couldn't be said if Christ stayed dead. At the ascension, there was validation. God's work was finished. Jesus could return to his Father's side in glory as he rightly deserved. All this is wonderfully summed up for us by the writer of the Hebrews. In chapter 1, verse 3, the sun is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. After he provided purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty in heaven. Well, what an incredible picture of Jesus that is. And that just scratches the surface. But I hope it stirs in us a desire to honour and praise the Lord Jesus as he rightly deserves. Remember, Christ did all of that for our sake. So let me encourage you, as the carol calls, for all ye faithful, to come and adore Christ the Lord. Why should we glorify God this Christmas? Well, very simply, because of Jesus, the one and only Son. And we come to our final point, which is this. We have glory in the highest heavens. You see, as the angelic messenger announces good news of great joy, he is joined by a heavenly host, a mighty company of angels giving glory to God. Verse 14, they praise the Lord, saying, glory to God in the highest heaven. Why should we glorify God this Christmas? Well, because God is enthroned as King over heaven and earth. He is King to the highest degree. He is supreme. No one comes close to match his excellence and worthiness. To quote another great hymn, God, or in fact Christ, who is the subject of the song, deserves to be crowned with many crowns. He is the Lord of years, the potentate, which means ruler of time. The Lord is the great controller and conductor through the ages. He created the stars and the planets, the rolling spheres. He brought all things into existence. And he is ineffably, incredibly sublime. He is utterly superb. And God is glorious. And what we mean by that is that he is weighty, heavy in his magnificence and brilliance. I think of it this way, you know, a blue whale is far more gloriously weighty than a housefly. Or put another way, back in the 90s and 2000s, Manchester United was a weighty club. It really meant something when the fans said, glory, glory, Man United. Not quite so true today. But nothing compares to the weighty brilliance of God. He is holy, majestic, magnificent, heavenly, glorious. He's the creator, the sustainer, the savior. Now we haven't even mentioned his wonderful character yet. He is the good God, the God of love, peace, patience, righteousness, justice, forgiveness, compassion. God really is worthy of all our honor and praise. But I guess we might neglect glorifying God because actually we can't see him enthroned in the heavens. He doesn't hold our gaze or interest. Instead, we see the people in front of us, the stuff around us. They take our attention. They take our time. They take our adoration. We see that in our society where people idolize celebrities and leaders, and they crave products and lifestyles. Nowhere is that more apparent than this time of year. As we come into this festive season, it is all too easy for us to glorify Christmas and not Christ. We end up doing what the world does. All our desires and longings are concerned with the presents we receive from under the tree, the turkey we eat around the dinner table, the games we play with our friends and family. In other words, we glorify the gift, but not the giver. But in all the Christmases that we've ever had, whatever we've wanted or received, nothing can hold a candle to the gracious gift of our Lord Jesus Christ. No phone, TV, computer, console, jewelry, designer handbag, exotic getaway, puppy or kitten is greater than having Jesus as King over our lives. They are good things to enjoy, yes, but none of them are worthy of our praise. Only Jesus, only God. So let me encourage you to join in with the chorus of the angels. Give glory to God in the highest heaven as he deserves. Remind yourself what he has done for you. He has saved us from our biggest problem of sin. Light has driven away night. He has given us his one and only Son, our Saviour and King. And he is enthroned in the highest heaven, reigning supreme as our good and great God. God really is worthy of our praise and honour. So let's glorify him this Christmas. Gloria in excelsis Deo. Glory to God in the highest heaven. As we close, let me read some words of praise from Revelation 5. This is kind of what we call a doxology, a sort of a short hymn of praise. There are many throughout the Bible, but we can join in with these words in our hearts and minds. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and praise. Now to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be praise and honor and glory and power forever and ever. Amen.